Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, kiddies. You dig hearing the sound of my nasally drone? You dig cars? Good. I got something called CarCast, and you can get it free on iTunes, or you can listen to it with the free Adam Carolla app. Also available on Android and iPhone. Go to acecarcast.com for more info. Again, it is me. It's Matt DeAndrea. It is all things cars. It is CarCast.
All right. There. Can everyone hear me okay? Mike Brewer here from Wheeler Dealers. He's a host of the show, 18th season, I think. We've got new seasons coming up. We'll tell you all about that. And Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea.
Hello.
One of the good ones. Man,
I'll take it.
Traveled the world.
Both of the good ones would have been nicer. Yeah. I mean, one of the good ones, and I'm sitting right next to you.
Yeah.
Well, the jury's still out on Mike. I met Mike a couple of weekends ago at Irvine when I was doing my basic cable commentary up there with David Zucker. And it was delightful. And Mike August was describing him. He said, there's a car guy here. He's a big car guy. Everyone knows him. And I said, what's his name? I don't know. I think his name is Mike.
Said, that's pretty descriptive.
I don't know. He does a show. It's huge. I said, I don't know. Mike. Yeah, I don't know. And then he said something. I said, wait a minute. Is he a British guy? And then I said, Wheeler's Dealers. And it all came.
Because Mike always doesn't lead with the pertinent information. I can tell you that he's one of the good guys because we've done our Shift and Steer podcast many times. We've done SEMA. We've done all sorts of events together.
Well,
and,
thank you.
And he's always a... He's always so much fun to have on those shows.
Oh, well, thank you. And thank God Adam's watched. Or this could be really awkward, couldn't it?
I have. And it's a great show. It's a great format. And again, it's going on 18 years, I think 19. When's it coming back?
So we're back on in March or April. The network haven't officially given us the go date yet, but we've shot the next series in line, ready to go out. And I'm currently working on the autumn series. So we're constantly making a show. But yeah, it's on very soon.
What are you out here? I mean, I know you're in Irvine a couple of weeks ago, but are you in the UK? You're back and forth?
Yeah, so Wheeler Dealers moved out to Los Angeles, or Orange County, should I say, in 2015. It was a big move for us because it meant moving my family and, you know, my the crew that we make to make the show. They're the only people that can really do it is the cameramen and the sound guys. They're all British, and we moved them all over here to come and make the show. So it was a big commitment.
It's weird that the thing that's always found interesting about Brits is an obsession with speed, and
we're good at it.
Yeah, but it's weird. In a weird way, it flies. So we have a speed obsession, and our obsession is like quarter mile, funny cars, dragsters, and then salt flats and weird kind of NASCAR and stuff like that. The Brits have a land, water, air speed obsession. Mm-hmm. They want the speed record on the water. Guys always die trying. Yep. I think famously the guy,
Malcolm Campbell.
He was on the water.
Donald Campbell, yep.
And then there was maybe De Havilland or something. A guy was trying to set the airspeed record, just took, you know, after World War II, just took his Spitfire, whatever he had, and just put it into a full dive. He just went, well, here, fastest way to go the fastest on airplanes, just go straight down at full throttle, and the thing just disintegrated. She probably should have seen
he's
coming.
On the, if you look at the Darwinism website, he's actually on the, he's the cover boy. Because he removed himself from evolution by trying that stupid stunt. But no, we've always had an obsession with speed. And I think because it comes down to engineering. If you think about British engineering right after the First World War, you had all these guys that were engineers that designed tanks and they designed planes and bombs and weapons. And they've got all these skills and they're going, well, these skills, we can do something fun with them, like race cars and go fast. So the first race circuit was Bentley raced on the first race circuit at Brooklyn's Motor Museum. And that was in the late 1920s or middle 1920s. And all of a sudden, you've got this explosion of engineers that had loads of skills about them. They've got access to fast cars, so they just wanted to go faster. And once you've conquered land, you might as well do it on the water. And then the stupid guy line, yeah.
And we have, so there they have gentlemen racers. Mm-hmm. We have douchebags like Vin Diesel who want to light up the rear tires of their Hellcat. But there they have gentlemen racers, and they race. They don't do the NASCAR, and they don't really do the ovals, mm-hmm. and they don't do the quarter mile or the 1,000 feet, I guess they have now. They do road courses, and they make
circuits.
Great cars with circuits, great finesse. And it's just anyone who's been out to Goodwood, their jaw will just drag on the ground. So you must have been doing this, buying cars, flipping them, fixing them up, and flipping them sort of independently before
dealers,
right?
Really, from the age of 10, I started off, but very much like you did, Adam, no doubt, and Matt, and lots of other people we know. I started off in the workshop floor with my dad, my dad partner.
No, my dad was a pussy, never did anything with me.
Sorry, won't go down that road.
It's okay, I made my peace with it.
My dad wasn't a pussy, he was brilliant. He was a car guy, he was a customizer in the 70s in the UK, and that was kind of odd, being a car customizer, and he had some notoriety. My dad used to get cover cars on Hot Rod magazine, and I would sit in the workshop with him during my summer holidays, school break, and he would make sure that I clean the wrench and with an oily rag and put it back where it should be, and he would ask me to pass him a number 7, a number 10, and a pair of pliers.
Metric system,
and very...
Damn,
very,
that elusive number 10 socket.
Yeah, I know.
You never
always
find
a 10. It's the
10.
One that just disappears. It's always a sweet spot in terms of its size. But very quickly, I realized I sort of learned stuff about cars that a young man really shouldn't be interested in. I should have been more interested in my rally chopper bike. But I knew all about cars. And by the time I got to 17, in England, you can't drive a car until you're 17 years of age, unlike here at 16. I got my first car, a Mini. I obsessed over it. I actually sat up until midnight on my 16th and 364th day birthday to wait until I was 17 to get in that car and drive it legally at midnight. And then I obsessed over it. My sister's neighbour, within a few weeks, I paid £300 for it. And my sister's neighbour, within a few weeks, reversed into it underneath the headlamp of a Mark 1 Mini. And she went right through to the inner wing. And when she got through to the inner wing, the insurance company went, for £300, we're just going to write the thing off. So they wrote it off, but I bought it back off of them for £25. And me and my dad repaired it. And not only did I repair it, I spent the £300 they gave me back for the insurance money on improving it. And when it was finished, it had mini light wheels on it, it had a new trick interior, it had better lights on it, it was just a better car. A friend of mine offered me £800 for it, and I went, that was quite good. I've sort of earned more money in one deal than my dad earns a week working in the print business. So, yeah, I think I'm gonna do this again. And I started buying and selling cars, and I've been doing it all my life.
Man, didn't you...
I'm surprised you can film it for £300.
Did you have a Mustang that was stolen, that was totaled, was like cut into two pieces, and then you went and got it back?
Yeah, well, I tried several times. I bought the 93 Mustang Cobra. I bought it in 93. I was working a couple jobs doing it. I was working at the Pet Boys. I was a dog groomer as well.
Oh, by the way, I said this a million years ago. We got this problem like, the illegals are coming over the border, and should we build a wall? Build a giant Pep Boys and stock it with ice. No Mexican can pass a Pep Boys without stepping in.
No.
And once they step in, we got him.
Got him, that's it.
Instead, got him.
We set the trap.
Yeah. Sorry, we took a turn for the political, but that was my idea from 25 years ago on Kevin and Bean, and I stand by it.
And you nailed it. So it's more relevant today than ever.
They love Pep Boys. Sorry.
So I bought the car and only had it about a year, and they just had an alarm on it, stole it right out of the driveway at my parents' place, left the alarm horn on the driveway for me.
As
like
a,
like it's just a nice little, we know you had it, but... Here.
That's basically, there's been a few people, I've known a few people have like had their house robbed. Yeah. Like I had my house robbed before I moved in, I was working on it. Guy took a dump in the bathtub.
I've heard.
That's what I'm like, saying.
It's not like, enough that you took all the tools and the stuff in the house. You had to leave your calling card.
Right? Now that's DNA.
Yeah.
But it's also
evidence.
Like, really? How bad? I want to do my TV show where I find the parents of these people and it's just called, really?
Yeah.
Yes. Really? This is your kid. Your kid robbed my house. Fine. He's a junkie and he's selling the tools, but... He took a dump. Really? It's going to be called Really with Adam Carolla.
I just
I'll watch it.
First episode, the nurse that impregnated the chick is in a vegetative state, and she gave birth while she was in a coma. I'm going to find his parents. Oh. Really?
And every time a story like that comes out, you find two others. There's always three. Right. There's like, well, this guy did it. This guy did it, too.
Hi, it's Adam Carolla.
We've got the crew here from Really.
we're ready to do this. All right, they stole the car. It's some kind of weird racket where the cops are like, yeah, we're not going to find it. We really don't care.
I do love that part where you have the thing about law enforcement is it's 20 times a row you get pulled over for tickets or not having a front license plate or having an illegal tint on the window or whatever it is. And then at some point you go, hey. No, I'm calling you now. Yeah. I need something from you. And they go, yeah, we don't really look for criminals. And you go like, well, what? It's kind of like you pay your insurance for 10 years. You never make a claim. And then at some point, your sister's neighbor backs into your Mini and you go, hey, I need you guys. And they're like, whoa, yeah. We got to raise it now. Like, yeah. Not so fast. Like,
it doesn't work that way.
Yes. Like once every 11 years, I call the cops and go, hey, I need something from you. And they go, we're not really into solving crime. We're more we're more of a crowdsourcing. We raise money.
This was a weird thing because after like a certain amount of time, it's like weird timing with the insurance companies. Like, well, it's been 30 days. We're pretty much going to cut you a check. And that's when you get the call going, we found your car. It's been stripped and the unibody's been cut in half. And it's in a lot in Miami now, and you can go and get it or whatever. So you go down there, and it's like the impound yard. There's like the bulletproof glass with the guy sitting in the back, like it's an old bank. And you're like, "What? Where's my car?" Like, "Oh, it's in the back lot. Can I go into your building?" No. I was like, "Did you strip my car?
Right?
Did you? You're the ones who did this, right?" We are not the ones.
The impound lots are the diciest dudes on the planet. Like, I don't know if they're in on the fix, but I
was so sure this group was.
Well, it's a business model that would work, wouldn't it? You just go out and steal cars and then put them in your own impound lot. So you're just claiming off the insurance company for storing of that stolen car, aren't you?
But so nobody took a dump in it, so that was a win.
Did you get it and put it back together?
So I tried buying the title back from the insurance company. I tried at the time, and then 20 years later, I tried again. And they're like, we don't really do that anymore. I'm like, well, what do you care? I just want the stuff. And they're like, no, and they would argue with me. I got more. The check the insurance company wrote to me was more than what I paid for the car. I felt lots of arguing with them and claiming, going, why can't I buy this back? You know, cut me my check, take a couple grand off or whatever you think it's worth, and I want the car, you know, because it's a rare car.
So
I never got it back. So I ended up buying two others.
How about, I want to know, I want your recollections of driving through Europe with Mike August at the wheel of the microbus.
Yeah.
Mike, you know, look, driving through...
We caused some havoc.
Driving to Irvine with Mike behind the wheel...
Terry.
It's good. I'm the world's best passenger. It's good. I find it amusing, mostly. But driving in Europe on the wrong side of the road with the ugliest American at the wheel...
He's yelling,
in the back pants.
He's yelling out the window, back-to-back World War champs!
That's basically it, yeah.
That's not basically, that's literally what he said.
We had a couple of moments there for sure, but...
What about the nice lady who was just trying to inform him he was going
we had the Volkswagen van, like front wheel drive, you know, 8-passenger van. We were going from the little hotel, Airbnb, and he was like, I don't know, I think he was wearing the woman's shoes that we stayed at the Airbnb because it was like raining, and he like took her shoes and wore the shoes.
Galoshes, yeah.
So we're in this black little minivan thing, and Mike's driving. I'm not sure why, for some reason. And everyone in this town, little Chichester, where Goodwood is, they're so nice. They're fantastic. And he's driving down the wrong way on a one-way road. And this woman, like, kind of, like, stops and, like, rolls down her window. She's like, excuse me, sir, you're going the wrong way. He looks down and he goes, shut up.
No.
She's the ugliest of all the Americans.
She's just devastated. Like, I don't understand what happened. I'm trying to save your life, man.
It wasn't even a response. Like, she's still talking. Yeah. Like, oh, excuse me, you're going on there. And before she could even get it on, I was like, shut up.
People of Chichester just don't like Americans. Oh, my God. Well, they definitely don't like me.
Wonder why.
They don't like Mike. And I thought he was going to hit this guy with the van where there was some of the roads are closed off. They're trying to direct traffic into this event, and there's the guy standing there.
It's 150,000 people show up at this
but
event.
He's got, you know, he's got the bright yellow vest on and his flag, and everybody's doing a thing. And Mike's like, we need to go this way. We're like, he's not going to let you. He's like, we're fine. He just floors it. And I thought he was going to, like, take the guy's arm off, like, hitting him with the front of the van.
My
new show.
He
got all the way to the end.
It's Ugly American with Mike.
Yeah.
With Mike August. Travel around and he offends all the country.
That's all he does.
All the locals.
We got all the way down to the end of the road and it was blocked off. We had to turn around and go back, like, tail between your legs.
That's what you get.
I'll tell you about the event that's coming up. Or you guys tell us about that. First, I'll tell you about the LifeLock. Security breach occurs when intruder gains unauthorized access to an organization's protected data. Cyber criminals or malicious apps bypass security to reach restricted areas. Let's face it, people, it's 2019. Your information is out there. People are going to try to hack into it and steal your identity. Consumers need to watch out for the cyber threats. Good thing there's LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. Adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your devices you may not easily see or fix on your own. If there's a problem, and you won't have one because you have LifeLock, but if there is a problem, they have agents who will work to fix it. They're the industry standard. They're LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code Adam for a 10% off your first year. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com or 1-800-LifeLock for 10% off.
So we're doing, on the 10th, we're doing our big thing at the Peterson Automotive Museum, and we're doing a sort of car thing by day, and then we're showing Uppity, the Willie T. Ribs doc, in the sort of late-ish afternoon. I guess about 5 o'clock, we'll figure it out. And then ACS, this show, 10th anniversary. So that show sold out. Kim will be there with
ACS
some other notables.
ACS is sold out, yeah.
Few tickets left for Uppity, but plenty of tickets left for the car show. I think Leno's coming out to that. Danny Trejo, who else? Mike's
going to
be there.
Trejo might
be
coming out. Now, Ball Bryant, Gina, I know you think this is all just an ACS 10th anniversary, but it's a CarCast 10th anniversary as well.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Don't sleep on that.
To our show at 11 that we do before you guys get here. It's a 10th anniversary for CarCast, so we're doing a big car show event 2 to 4 before the Uppity screening. We want everybody to come out. We want to see what everybody's driving. Tickets are, I don't know, $35 to show a car, so we want to... And we're kind of unlimited on tickets for that because it's a big place, you know. Mm-hmm. So come out for that. And you're right. Leno's coming out. I believe Goldberg's coming down. He's going to bring a car. Leno's bringing a car. We spoke to Michael Anthony from Van Halen and the Circle. He's bringing his car up there. Buddy Brad Fanshawe.
Mike's bringing his 911.
Mike Brewer's bringing.
I'll bring a 911. I've got
a with or without the clutch.
Yeah, with the clutch.
With the clutch. Because we're undecided. It needs a clutch. We were talking about it before
it
we came
clutch.
In.
It's Porsche tax clutch. $1,200 just for the clutch. I just can't get
is it. Is it like a 77
It's a 82 SC. I've got a 60. I've got a 69T, which I'm just hot rodding at the moment, but I've got an 82 SC that I'll use as my daily driver.
We're going to bring the big Hino Transport, maybe a BRE race car, maybe the 935
Porsche. I
think
we'll bring Porsche. The 935. Our buddy Chris Jacobs from, he hosts Bear Jackson, just Motor Trend TV. He's going to come out. He's bringing a Mopar.
Yeah, he brings something Mopar. Yeah, with a baseball cap on.
Yeah, so, that's exactly what he's going to do.
I've invited the Joel McHales of the world, and we'll see if the Joe Rogans and the Joel McHales and guys like that, the car guys, want to come out and bring their cars too.
I'm waiting to hear back, but Billy Gibbons says he's checking on his schedule. He thinks he's not on the road, so he might be able to come up as well. He'll bring something lowrider-ish.
And park it next to Trejo.
Yeah, start parking next to Trejo. So it'll be a good event. Tickets are at adamcroller.com.
And that's during the day, and then hang around and watch the
This is the genius of our car show. This is not at 6 a.m. We've said for a decade, if we were ever going to do a car show, like we were thinking, how about cars and brunch? Cars or and mimosas.
Cars and cocktails.
Yeah,
yes,
right?
That's like, a nicer time.
And we're going to have Mangria there and Endless Rant, so that's why it's at 2.
And you don't have to, just for the me's among the people that might want to go, you don't have to show up and be like, this is my car, it's a, never mind, you wouldn't be interested. You can just come in and appreciate everybody else's stuff.
Right. Also, yeah, you can buy a spectator ticket, you can bring your car, but we want to bring everything out there. And Adam and I are going to be judging cars. Very judgy.
I can't judge, but in this.
Very judgy. Yeah. Yeah. Giving out awards.
No, and it starts at 2. The cars and coffee thing, it's like, we meet at the Irvine Winchells at 5:30 on Sunday, 5:30 a.m., and it's like, ooh. And then
for the pre-game.
The thing that drives me nuts about the stupid cars and coffee, which is literally Sunday at 6 a.m., all these guys bring their hot rods out there. Mm. Now you go, all right, that's cool. These guys want to get an early start on the day. I don't know why they want to get up before the sun comes up on a Sunday, but that's their business. But what about their neighbors? Because this guy is pulling his 55 Willys Gasser out of the back of the goddamn garage with the open goddamn headers and no air cleaner. And, oh, it's a Hemi. You fire that thing up. I guarantee when you're bringing out something cool, I mean, it's loud. It could be a bone stock Ferrari. It's still going to be loud at 5:20 in the morning when you're backing it out of your garage in your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You got to be miserable if you live next to one of these cars and coffee jack-offs because these guys are firing up the Duesenberg and backing it out at 5:30 in the morning and the whole neighborhood is waiting. The guys who started the cars and coffee should really think about the neighbors, not the guys.
The real victim.
I hate about it is when you turn up at like 8 o'clock in the morning and you think that's a decent time, 8 o'clock in the morning, to get there, and there's people driving away. And you're going, where are you going? I've only just got here.
I know, it's here all morning.
It's done. It's over.
I woke up my neighbor at 4:45, and I'm just driving home. All right, we'll take a break. We'll do a little news. You guys will hang out and crack wise with us.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Ooh, Lennox Lewis in studio tomorrow, man. What a great heavyweight. That guy was... I'll say quietly dominant. He was sort of Larry Holmes dominant. Mm. Like people didn't really know how dominant he was, but he just almost never lost. Mm. And if he ever lost, he avenged his losses. And the thing that I loved about Lennox Lewis is, did he call him LL Cool Jab in the interview?
Dylan mentioned that. And Lennox had no idea what he was talking about.
I decided a boxer needs a nickname. Lennox Lewis never had a nickname. Hearns, Thomas Hitman Hearns was also the Motor City Cobra and the Hitman. But the most dominant heavyweight the last 25 years is Lennox Lewis. No. So I called him LL Cool Jab.
That's
because
awesome.
He got Lennox Lewis. Come on now. Didn't find it amusing. Yeah, okay. We'll try it again.
I don't know if you didn't find it amusing. He just never heard of it.
Well, because I coined it. Talked to him wrong. But anyway, that guy, I mean, he retired at 36, 37. All these guys come out of retirement because they go, one more fight, $50 million. You fight one of the Klitschko brothers. You do it in 9 months. And by the way, you're dominant anyway, and you're 36 and a half. Like, you can do
it. Right, and they don't have a grill, like a really popular grill to make
sell,
burgers
right.
on.
Usually the IRS is knocking on their door. That's what usually does
all
it.
These guys just come out and go, fine, one more fight with Vladimir, and I'll get my $45 million.
Right? Take a beating.
He never did it. Oh. He never came out. He never came back.
Very British, I say. Very British.
Yeah.
So he went to go and crack some speed records instead because he's British.
By way of Canada? He fought for Canada in the Olympics?
Yes, he fought for Canada, but he was born in Britain.
Right.
Wow. Mm.
But he fought for Canada.
Well, I mean, look, you know.
He obviously picked a side.
People,
no one ever.
There's plenty of people born somewhere else but represent America.
Oh, really?
Yeah, of course. Okay. Yeah, and any kind of sport.
Why was he born in Britain and won the gold for Canada?
He must have lived there.
Yeah, something.
Easier team to get on.
Yeah.
Sorry, what did he do?
Sick burn.
Yeah, a bunch of white guys who cut easy. You can't make that team. No. Not if you're a huge black man. Sorry.
Well, you don't have to worry about Bill Cosby and how he's handling prison life. Because according to his attorney, the comic is enjoying his amazing experience.
I secretly suspected this.
You know, well, Cosby was recently moved into Gen Pop at the maximum security prison in Pennsylvania and has been spending quality time with other inmates, say reports. His lawyer, Andrew Wyatt, says, quote, despite the circumstances, Cosby says this is an amazing experience. He's mentally strong. He's a strong man. He's prepared himself. Wyatt has been the only person Cosby has allowed to visit him in prison. He says, when I visit him, it's nothing sad about it. He's not sad. He's not remorseful because he did nothing wrong. And by the way, Cosby is serving up to 10 years in prison for drugging and sexually assaulting Andrea Constand.
I was going to say, does he maintain his innocence?
He sure seems to.
Why is he so happy? If he was innocent, wouldn't he be pissed to be there?
Thank you.
That's a really good point.
Thank you.
He might be playing mummies and daddies in the prison game. Yeah. So he might be mummy. That's why he's happy.
You have to think. I always think about it. Like, you always think in terms of the guy who was like wrongfully accused. Like, if someone found Lynette dead and I was actually on a flight heading to Chicago when somebody killed her, that press conference wouldn't be like, we're going to diligently
We're working with authorities.
I'd be like, I'm suing everyone. I will sue everyone's ass. You are all.
I'm taking
way,
names.
Everyone's going to owe me an apology. Everyone's going to. When we find the junkie in 3 days who killed my wife, you MFers are all going to apologize to this dude right here. It wouldn't be like, this is a somber moment. And we're working together. We're working with authorities. You would never be that. It would never be that.
I'll meet you back here in 3 days.
The best part is that he crapped in your toilet after he killed her. That's left. Right. So now you're going to find her.
This
find the guy.
A deuce in the tub.
You should be so lucky in the toilet.
But yes, you would assume with a sloppy, crazy murder scene like this that you would find this guy in the park nearby in the next 48 hours. Like, if you didn't kill your wife, you assume this guy's sleeping in his car up the street or something, or a neighbor saw it, or there's Ring video footage or whatever. There would be something, and you would know that they would find him immediately. That's what the reaction would be. Sorry.
And do you think that if he is having a gay old time in prison is because society has deemed him such a monster that he's in a place where he might be revered right now? He's kind of the king. Everybody wants to meet Bill Cosby. That's everybody wants to bring their commentary to Bill Cosby.
He's the king of the block. Yeah. Hey, Bill Cosby, king of the block. I get you what you need.
Right.
I got some drugs. I make
worst
you go
Bill
sleep.
Cosby impersonation I've ever heard.
Sorry.
That was
my American.
What is he dealing? Just Jell-O.
That was Lennox Lewis.
Yes, it'd be good at getting you to sleep, apparently.
I've talked to Mark Gargis about this. He's talked to his guys. Like, he's had to tell some clients, hey, man, I couldn't get you out of it. Like, you got to do 18 months. Like, to rich guys who are used to having a good life. And he's, like, literally said to him, you're going to come out of here 30 pounds lighter and sober. Like,
so it's a win-win.
I mean, you really, you drink every night or you have a cocktail, whatever, you're carrying around an extra 40 pounds. Like, you're going to come out lean and mean and sober. And they do. Like, they come out. Like, I do think sometimes, I believe a guy like him wants off the treadmill. Just all the questions, all the microphones in your face. Like, you can't go anywhere. You can't do anything. I think in a weird way, he's getting a solitude.
Well, forever, because he's, 81, and he's looking at 10 years, so that's that.
And also, even if you're the cause, like, you got to think of the one. What is the one main thing being in the joint? Like when you get thrown in a prison and you're 19 and you're going to be there till you're 27 or whatever it is, pussy. I mean, that's the main thing. Yeah. You can talk about meals. You can talk about entertainment. You can talk about sports cars. But when you're 19 and you go, no pussy for you for the next 10 years, that's cruel and unusual.
Yeah.
When you're 81, you're kind of done with your dick at that point.
It's more of a nuisance than anything.
What he's hoping is everybody else is as well.
Right. Exactly. Yes. You remove that element, and now you're just old guy.
You're just killing time.
Who wants to read, you know?
Playing cards.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, the Wire Fox Terrier named King was named Best in Show at the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show Tuesday night at Madison Square Garden. The dog from Brazil beat out nearly 3,000 other competitors. They came from all 50 states, 14 countries, represented 203 breeds. It's the 15th time a Wire Fox Terrier has been crowned Best in Show and the 45th time a Terrier has won more than any other breed. A Havanese named Bono was the runner-up. And that's like the little wind-up F.A.O. Schwartz dog.
Is he trying to?
Terrier.
I like. Is he trying to block a dog's fart though with his hand?
He's just checking. Yeah. He's coming off that thing.
Yeah,
he's
just,
there's weird too. There's too much tail lifting and anus checking. Yeah.
There is
thing. It's kind of a weird one.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah,
what's going on back there?
No, you need a big dog. Oh, we just got Phil. Somebody just got Phil a collar with a tie built into it. Delectable.
Adorable.
One that'll send
he's
you a
so
picture.
Fancy.
You seen Dawson's puppy?
Oh my god!
Oh, I just saw a picture of Dawson's
puppy. No, 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 no!
Have you seen Dawson's puppy?
Look at this window right now.
Oh, it's here. I saw a picture
online. Wait for it.
Oh, he just lifted up that puppy. What kind of puppy is that?
Shepherd mix.
75% German Shepherd, 25% Dutch Shepherd.
Good mix.
You know, it's because he did a 23andMe test on it.
I bolted in there, started crying. Look at that puppy.
Cute. Don't let him take a dump at
Subaru
get
there. Powered by Subaru. Subaru, they run their cars on that. Trust me, they grind it down.
No!
They will.
Oh, look, we got a picture of Phil, and he's wearing his boat. He's wearing his tie.
And that's like his work tie. Right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
The tie with just the collar, that's just male stripper at this point, right?
Yeah.
Just nothing else?
Yeah,
we got a sock for one
last part. Yeah, or that bear. Is it a bear?
Hmm.
It's like a cartoon bear. He just has like the tie.
Yogi
and Boo Boo.
Maybe that's the one.
Yeah.
Yogi wears a hat, I think a bow tie, maybe a vest. He has honey.
Does he have the dicky?
I think he has a collar and a tie.
He has a collar and a tie.
You're getting confused. Yeah. Top Cat has the bow tie and the dicky.
Okay.
Top Cat had a good theme. You know how all these cartoons had fun and well put together themes. I think Top Cat had a good theme. You can look for it, Max Pat. Yeah. I'll give you a minute to find the Top Cat theme. But I've never played it on this show, but I remember they had a good theme.
It's a famous thing about the theme tune for Top Cat. And they even asked Hanna-Barbera, is that his name?
Sure.
They even asked him I think it's the third line. Even he doesn't know, but it's like Top Cat, the indisputable Top Cat. Close friends get to call him to see. Bromide is wacky, you see. Nobody knows what it is. And they asked him many years later what it is, and even he didn't know.
Let's
two guys, by the way.
Yeah.
Hanna-Barbera, I think. But yes, we have it?
Let's do it.
Let's hear it.
Top Cat! The most effectual Top Cat! Intellectual close friends get to call him TC, providing its wet dignity.
Bromide in your cup of tea
he's
is what I heard.
The tea?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's hear that one again.
I know it's hard, isn't it?
That one line.
Friends get to call him TC, providing its wet dignity.
Providing it's with dignity.
Oh, his close friends call him TC. Provided it's with dignity.
Okay.
Is that right?
That's why I have Dawson.
Wacking providing it's with dignity. So close friends may call him TC, providing it's with dignity.
Wow.
It's awesome.
Thank you, Dawson.
Now we got to go to good times and we got to get the hanging in a jar line.
Hold on. Dawson's on a roll. So, Dawson, why do men have nipples? Come on. You're on a roll. Answer that one. Where do baby pigeons come from? Why do you never see a baby pigeon? Where do pigeons go to die? Why do you never see a dead one? Come on, Dawson. Why is the sky blue? Why is water
clear?
We
never see a squirrel take a dump.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's those are the real mysteries.
Well, if you're hungry and angry on this Valentine's Day, Hooters has a deal for you. There's still time. The popular chain is offering its customers a buy 10, get 10 free special of boneless wings, provided you bring a photo of your ex and rip it up in front of them. Hooters wrote on their Twitter page, make this Singles Awareness Day one for the books. Bring in a pic of your ex, shred it, and get 10 free boneless wings. So hurry, hurry.
This sounds a little thirsty, right? Like a little.
I love when you're trying to just get some.
It's my TMZ lingo. Yeah. But like they do that when some fading starlet goes to the beach and takes a bunch of pictures of herself in a thong back and then sends it out
there.
Being a thirst trap.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they're trying to keep up with Tilted Kilt or something. I don't know. I don't know. I here's the whole thing. I mean, I make good food, and then we'll show up and pay you and eat it. It's not. Let's get cute.
Well, they just want you to buy 9 beers while you're there, right? Like that's the.
Yeah, you can't make money off.
How much longer can the Hooters business model last?
Hashtag me too. You mean?
It feels very out of step with society.
Yeah. What was the man show? We had a man show bit.
Wings are good for everybody.
Called like Cooners or something.
There's
like
a Buffalo
that.
Wild Wings. That there are competitors in the wings space.
Within
wings
10 stop. Years, it'll be called, and the easiest way to do it is to just call it Shooters. They put an S in front of it. And I just call it Shooters.
Smart.
Mm. That might not fly in this climate either, though.
Well, you never
know.
You gotta
think of something else.
All right, what else?
All right, well, Cliff Sims, a former White House staffer who wrote a tell-all book and former guest of this show.
He called in like 3 days.
Yeah, he is suing Donald Trump to stop him from silencing him as he promotes his book. So it's kind of like a get out in front of this lawsuit. Mm-hmm. CNN reports that Sims is bringing the suit against Trump, quote, in his official capacity as the president, and is seeking an injunction against the NDA that Trump made him sign, basically, to work at the White House.
I'd always heard you couldn't sue the president.
I've heard that,
That's
too.
That's what I thought. Come
That's
on,
what
Gina.
I thought.
Hey,
well,
man.
Look, he can't. I think this is one of these, you can't fire me, I quit.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so the NDAs, boy, it turns out all the stuff, like, you know, whether it's Stormy Daniels or whoever, and even I hear this sometimes about prenups and stuff, evidently they're not worth that
Nobody
much.
Cares.
Not super enforceable.
Nobody cares.
And
it's weird that why have them? to scare people?
Yeah. Absolutely. And in terms of people who've written books about the president who've worked in the White House, Omarosa wrote one, and you know there was some contentious stuff there, but not too much. Sean Spicer wrote one, and that was fine because it depends what light he's being put in. He's not being put in a great light in this one. He wants it stopped. The book is Team of Vipers, and we talked to him about it. My 500 extraordinary days in the Trump White House, and he said, "I feel like I was backed into a corner by some legal action that the Trump folks took, and so I felt like I needed to be able to stand up for myself." And we did have a clip, I think we still have it, of Cliff talking to Anderson Cooper about what the average person does when they get a little bit of power.
Going to figure this
out. Okay.
I have a little bit of power.
He basically says it reveals, once you get a little bit of power, it reveals your truth. Are you using it for good? Are you using it for evil? And Cliff surprised himself by how Game of Thrones and cutthroat he got when he got a little bit of power.
People get more of what they are.
Right.
It's like drinking, right? Like in a Vino Veritas?
Yes. Yes. I mean, the guys that are sweet, they start hugging you. You know what I mean? The guys that are assholes are punching you. But there's, I mean, I think they're people. Look, I have this weird game, which is we all know people that we pray don't get rich and powerful because they would be horrible.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird because I like a lot of them and they're good. They're good people. It's just I realize they'd be bad celebrities because they already have a little. You know the people you know who have a little diva in them for no reason.
Yeah.
And they would have a lot more diva in them if they. If they really could get away with it?
Mm. Well, that's when some, I don't remember if it was Truth or Dare, but some old Madonna documentary, they said she was a pain in the ass when she was working those little clubs in New York. Mm. And they said, God forbid she ever gets famous because she's going to be worse.
Right. And I'm sure she became more of what she was.
Right.
Well, why wouldn't you just become more of what you were?
If you have access to it, sure. Here's a clip from Anderson Cooper.
I learned from it.
Because I mean, you used the quote how, you know, power corrupts, but you also say that what you've really learned is that it reveals things about you.
Definitely.
Weaknesses in you.
Totally. I mean, I think I say things like I had a warrior spirit but lacked a servant's heart. I mean, I think that's ultimately what we want in our leaders and the people that are serving our country are people that have a servant's heart. And I'm by disposition a nice person because I'm from the South, I'm from Alabama, but I it revealed kind of a part of my character, inherent meanness.
Does this president have a servant's heart?
Oh, man. I think in some ways he does, and in a lot of ways he doesn't.
All right.
So we'll see if we can keep
very much on the fence.
No, that was on the fence.
Anderson just asked that question willy nilly. I had no idea what the answer would be. I'll tell you one thing that people don't quite fold into being Madonna or Adam Carolla.
The Madonnas and Adam Carollas of the world.
Or Madonna Carolla. They don't really factor in is. You have a whole bunch of people, and you have to tell them what to do all the time, and your schedule is sped up a lot. So, you know how you're laid back and you're a nice person, and you're chillax and you're cool on a Sunday, and you're making waffles for like your kids or your putts around the house, or you're going to go down the garage or whatever. Now, picture that same person on Monday at LAX, and it's crowded. Right? And you have to make a flight. You have time, but there's some lines that are long, and there's some bags, and you can't carry this one on. Now, how is that exact same person? That exact same person is now beaked up a little, stressed up a little, getting a little curt, getting a little short. It's not the person in the bunny slippers in the kitchen that's making flapjacks or Johnny Cakes. It's the same human being, but the circumstances, there's been a little fire under the person. Now, you're not choking out the person at the Delta lounge who's not letting you in, but you are not the same.
You're close.
You're not the same.
If only you could.
You're not the same. Yeah. So when you become the man, the boss, Madonna, Adam Carolla, when you become legendary names, you know this, it's essentially like you're walking through an airport all the time. Like people are coming at you. You have 13 different things at once. You want to know what happened to this and what happened to that and how come so-and-so's not here and how come this hasn't arrived yet and what happened to that. And then you're fielding these offers all the time. Like people, Mike Ogg, reach out to Jay Leno. Ask Jay what kind of time to bring. Talk to Kimmel. Trade with Kimmel. See if Kimmel do a video for the Kimmel's people and we'll come back to you. They want to do a pre-shoot for that. So now it's that. Now you go through the airport of life and you're having all the Jehovah's Witnesses come at you all the time. And they're
the airplane.
They're coming at you.
That's right.
The Hare Krishnas are coming at you. They're giving you the watchtower. They want to share the good news. Blah, blah. Now how do you react? Well, you don't react like the same chillax person that's drinking the Postum and the bunny slippers. You're a little more, hey, no, boom, boom, boom. You get short, you get curt, you get quick, you get annoyed a little more easily. And why? Because you're at the airport all the time. And so when you want to find out about these like celebrities and like what they're doing, and it's like there was like, I was watching TMZ the other day, and it's like, there's Robert De Niro, and he's like yelling at his driver, and it's like, because Robert De Niro is standing out front of some place. He told his driver to meet him out front. The paparazzi's gathering around. He's miserable. And no, he's not going to be flowery with the driver. He's going to be short, curt, a little. Now, you can go full Leona Helmsley and cross the line. But asking people that are constantly running things, basically who live in an airport, to be super courteous and super whatever all the time, It's an unrealistic expectation. So it's not that they turn into assholes. They turn into busy people who are like, boom, boom, boom. Thank you. Yes, I get yelled at by my nanny.
As you do.
Because I'm talking on the phone driving home, and Mike August is going, did you talk to Leno? Did you ask Leno about whatever? And then there's a phone ring on the other line, and it's Olga. And I go, Olga, when are you going to be home for dinner? And she goes, we're in trampoline world. And I go, when are you going to be home for dinner? And she goes, we're going to leave trampoline world in about half an hour. And I go, I don't know where trampoline world is. When are you going to be home? And she goes, 7 o'clock. Don't be a dick.
Stop
and
yelling
then,
at me.
Then I hang up the phone and I go back to Mike August, but I'm not being a dick. I'm trying to spin the plates. There's a bunch of plates. She doesn't know him on the other line with somebody wanting to know something about Jay Leno and what Stanley Steamer is bringing out to the car event. So thank you. I'm in an airport.
Yeah.
You guys are at a Manny Petty bar. Mm. You understand? Different attitude.
Relaxing.
That's right.
Yeah, peaceful.
Okay, finish the goddamn news. Let's go. Jesus Christ.
Well, speaking of celebrities and you know, the ilk like Madonna and Adam Carolla, several doctors are treating are treating Justin Bieber for depression. A source told People magazine it has nothing to do with Hailey Baldwin. It's just something else he's struggling with. It has nothing to do with her. Justin admitted to Vogue magazine this month that his mental health issues forced him to abandon the Purpose tour with 14 shows remaining, and they're kind of pinning this on his adrenaline junkie side, because according to the article, he craved the excitement but regretted the results of many things. Bieber said, "I found myself doing things super promiscuous and stuff.
That's living, baby.
Xanax because I was so ashamed." And now he's on a little bit of a shame spiral.
He's just sad because he just realized he's Justin Bieber.
Wow. Maybe that's
hot Matt with a hot take.
When you get, I don't know, Anthony Bourdain. I think when a guy starts getting the tats, like starts the tats, or a girl starts the tats, like just starts with that. Like, I know from doing Loveline all those years, a lot of this stuff, like a lot of the tats and a lot of the piercings, it's like a little pain. It's like a little self-inflicted whatever. I don't know. Is it ever a good sign when the guy just starts? Isn't it always restless something? That's like Anthony Bourdain, like no tats, 0 to 42, and then getting sleeved.
Amy Winehouse smothered herself in tats, didn't she, in the late years.
And, I mean, even as sort of a Ben Affleck getting, like, the big tat on his back, like, doesn't it show, like, struggling with something mixed
Mike
with...
Brewer's got that Red Dragon tat on his back.
Nobody's come near me with any ink. It's not my world. Not my world.
Yeah, it suggests a kind of weird restlessness or something.
Makes sense.
And he didn't really have tats before.
No, he was a clean-cut little YouTube star.
He's got a lot of tats.
He's
now,
covered
right?
now.
But a lot of religious symbolism stuff, right? Like crosses and rosary beads, and that's kind
that
of
always goes
now.
Hand in hand with a super virtuous lifestyle.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's Adam Levine. What the hell? The big California tat on his belly.
So he knows where he's from.
Where are you from, Adam? Hold on.
Hold on.
Let me untuck my
His tats are weird. They're just like random ideas. They're just, it's just a weird thing. But you bring up like a Ben Affleck. How does Ben Affleck, like, not known for any tats and, you know, doesn't get like, you know, the kid's name on his on his forearm or something? How did he go from nothing to completely covered on his back? Like,
that's
a hell of a commitment, like, right off the bat, right?
I've never even seen pictures of it. I've just kind of heard that he has, like, massive wings, or what's he have on his back?
Like a Victoria's Secret
It's a
angel?
Giant dragon on his back. I mean,
Is that a phoenix?
I don't think so.
It is colorful.
That's just jumping right in, right?
It's like a phoenix. Like the majestic phoenix rising from the ass crack.
No disrespect to Ben Affleck. I mean, that is absolutely crap, isn't it, as well? It's just bloody horrible, isn't it?
I don't know. We'll find out what's on his back. I'm going back to my Bill Cosby theory, which is...
Oh, we might get some tats late in life.
somebody bought wallpaper in for your bedroom, and it was just that... For your bedroom, you would look at it and go, "Are you kidding?
Yeah, no,
I don't want to sleep next to that
if
every night."
You lived in a New Orleans whorehouse. That would be your wallpaper.
Why would you put that crap on your back? I just don't get it.
I'm gonna tell you. I got a theory.
Okay.
You like dragons?
I got a theory. First, let me tell you about Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you add save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance? You don't have to go anywhere. Just go to your computer and go to Geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money, put it in your pocket. It'll be the most rewarding thing you do all day. That's Geico, geico.com. Spend a couple minutes, find out just how much you could be saving on your auto insurance at geico.com. All right, there is a... The House of the Rising
Phoenix.
That's
the New Orleans Whorehouse.
Yeah. There is a house in New Orleans.
They call it a rising sun.
I really didn't want to start. I didn't start down that road, but at a certain point it struck me. I got to finish. All right. I think so. There's sort of struggle with addiction or alcoholism, whatever. It's sort of, and you get rid of that, and then you kind of replace it with this thrill seeking, sure, or this pain or this whatever. But back to the cause. If you are going to like commit to this, if you're Ben Affleck and you're going to commit to this, this is 150 hours of work on your back. And if you want to get this tat done, somebody has to say, you're going to have 5 hours once a week on your face with the donut and the pillow thing, and you're just going to lay there, and that's what we're going to do. We're just going to low-grade pain on your back for like 5 hours a day. But it'll be 5 hours a day where there's no paparazzi, right, and there's no, yep, and there's no divorce talking, attorneys, and there's no camera guys, and there's no PAs. It's just this. Like, it's like you saying, all right, I'll commit to this, yep, giant dragon on my back, and 5 hours a day I'm going to pull that out of. You know, I could do meditation, but I'm not up to that. This will be it.
But you could have gone and had a pedicure. You know, I mean, if you want to escape from anyone, just go, you know.
But it's not a commitment.
Go and sit on the John and look at Facebook for an hour. I mean, that's what anyone does, isn't it? Why put that crap on your back?
There's some pain in that. Let's face it.
The bit about that that's ridiculous, he's never going to see it. He's never, ever going to see it. It's behind him.
Mike just divulged his exercise routine.
It is, yes. Yes, Ronald McDonald told me.
1 hour a day.
My fitness
crapper,
instructor.
Facebook.
1 hour a day. Facebook on the John.
But I think you're right, Adam, that there is something intoxicating about that low-grade pain, especially when you struggle with addiction.
And
like
also,
does, or seems
you
to.
Can't start it and not really finish it. Like, no. You have to show like up a, once a week. I mean, that's a one-year thing.
If you're Affleck, the guy like comes to your house and does it, right?
This is I guess, like
the Uber Eats of tattoos. Or
you don't go to High Voltage on La Brea?
No, you just don't, you know.
Who's the guy with the shirt on? Hey, it's Batman. Hey, Max Paddock, can you get a close-up of that thing? Is that a giant dragon?
It's a phoenix rising from the ashes. And so in 2016, when the picture was taken, he said it's fake. It's for a movie. It's fake. But people saw him in 2018 with it still on.
So hold on.
You ever maybe been he to hasn't a, showered in 12
years. Yeah, you ever
years.
Been to a club and they give me a hand stamp and then the
forever.
Next morning you're at brunch and it's still there?
So 2 years later, it's still
so
there.
So the New Yorker actually published a story about it called "The Great Sadness of Ben Affleck," and it made fun of the tattoo.
I told you.
And then Ben Affleck tweeted last year at New Yorker, "I'm doing just fine. Thick skin bolstered by garish tattoos," and that's all that's he's mentioned about it.
So he is getting it.
Hey Ben, it's your publicist. Hey, the New Yorker's coming out with a story about you this weekend.
Oh really? Oh, yeah. The 30 most. Oh no. 10 most eligible bachelors in Hollywood now that I'm single.
You're probably working on that one for Valentine's Day. This one's a little more about
best paid stars.
Well, this one's just about you. There's no one else featured.
I did a pretty big remod of my Bel Air place. I want to feature my architectural skills.
It's less about that and more about your personal life.
Oh, about how wide my penis is.
I don't know. I didn't see that in the version they send me, but that could be, you know, sometimes, you know, they put more stuff online, like for more. Go online to read more about Ben Affleck.
Right. He's single, ladies. He's single again. I can see it right there.
It definitely emphasizes that you're single. It definitely emphasizes that you're loveless and single and alone.
Yeah. Hold on. We'll do slippery when wet on one cheek and then the Playboy bunny head on the right cheek. Okay, sorry. What were we saying?
Don't buy any newspapers this weekend. That's what I'm saying.
I don't have a bird, man, so don't worry about me. I read it all online.
All right, good talk.
Brilliant.
Went just like that.
What was the title of that again?
The Epic Sadness.
Max Pata.
The Sadness of Ben Affleck.
It was called, I'm pulling it up right here, the Great Sadness of Ben Affleck.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because the regular sadness would
phone, yeah. What's it called?
I got an advanced proof for your article.
Yeah.
Well, the working title
is the Monumental Sadness.
Mm. I think they misspelled a monumental.
Did they misspell badass again?
You know, these copy editors, they got their heads up their asses half the time.
Yeah,
I'm
read
gonna
it
talk
too.
With the New Yorker.
It looked like the ass got screwed up there. You tell them. Badass starts with a B, all right?
Give me the New Yorker right now. I'll take care of this guy.
Thank you.
Brilliant.
All right.
Well, Katy Perry thought what people are now calling her blackface shoes were about art, not politics. The singer issued a statement.
Just apologize for shoes.
Yep. In the wake of retailers pulling one design in her shoe line on Tuesday, saying she was clueless about the potential for offense. She wrote, quote, "The Rue and Aura were part of a collection that were released last summer in 9 colors, black, blue, gold, graphite, lead, nude, pink, red, silver, and envisioned as a nod to modern art and surrealism." We're looking at them right now. It's two faces in two different colors.
She said, a heeled shoe with a suede kind of front. And it, so Katy Perry stuff is nutty. So she puts
she
candy canes and stuff.
And sweetums.
But her clothing line is adorned with wacky stuff.
Exactly.
So she made a face shoe.
Right.
Again, sorry. Is it just me? And I'm sorry to just be, repeat myself, but they are crap, aren't they? Would you ever wear those?
We're burying the lead.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Would you wear them?
I would not.
Exactly. I mean,
not the target demo.
How are they offensive? They're just shoes. Who
they're black because one of them is black. By the way, if you have nine
the two
other
white shoes, wouldn't they be?
That's the point. Yeah.
Okay. Let me tell you something. To all the people that find this problematic, will you please kill yourself? Because you're making my entire life problematic with your "I find this problematic." Nobody finds this problematic. The stuff's been out for a long time. It's insane. She's Katy Perry. She shoots whipped cream from her nipples. Who cares? Please.
She made a shoe that is not about blackface or a blackface shoe. She made a shoe that reminds some people of a thing they don't like. Like, we're at the point now where it's, if it reminds you of a thing that you don't like, you can't do that.
I find that cloud problematic. Yeah. It's taking the shape of a Klansman's horse. would you kill yourself, you assholes? Please kill yourself. You're infecting my life. You're really making it bad. I'm this close to getting a dragon tattoo. I'm so angry at you people.
Phoenix.
Same.
Phoenix. And hey, please, I hate that. Yes, I'm working on my tat. Listen.
Face down on a donut.
You see Game of Thrones?
That's the effect I have.
All right, I'm getting that on my back.
Okay.
All right. And listen, all the news outlets, knock it off. Please stop reporting this stuff as if it's something. Mm. Please. It's not. It's Katy Perry. Mm. She's making shoes. They come in different colors. They have faces on it. Not everything's blackface. Please knock it off. And Katy, don't apologize. What did Katy?
She apologized. She said, "I was saddened when it was brought to my attention that it was being compared to painful images reminiscent of blackface. Our intention was never to inflict
any pain." By the way, Katy Perry has dumb face. Did everyone think looks like she's thinking about something stupid, right?
She's gotten a headlighter too.
Yeah, okay. Listen, don't apologize. When you apologize, you make it worse. You tell everyone to get over themselves. This has nothing to do with anything. I make shoes. Yeah. They're in different colors. Many shoes come in black. Jesus Christ. Don't apologize. And this isn't hurtful to anybody. Her shoes aren't hurtful to anyone. Blackface may be hurtful to people. Her shoes aren't. Man up, Katy, if that's possible, and just tell everyone to shut up.
Well, she did you one better. She removed them.
Okay. There you go. There you go, everybody. Have everything shut down. Kick everyone off of every board. Close down. Put a warning sign up in every school, on every fire station. It's everywhere. Just shut down everyone because you find things problematic, you pussies. Or you could do the noble thing, which would be kill yourself. Like, I'm not kidding. Kill yourself. I'm getting tired of you. And obviously, you're miserable. You should be killing yourself. You're miserable. You're miserable piles of shit if this is a complaint. And I don't even think there is a person. Yeah. I really don't think who is the person.
Random people pontificating on
the
internet.
All right, this is Katy Perry's fault. Shut up. She shouldn't be apologizing or releasing statements about how hurtful it is.
You validate.
She should tell everyone to shut up.
Well, this is something that I've been thinking about forever, considering myself an ally of most people. When you start turning your allies into your enemies, they don't know how to be your allies anymore.
And
so why are you doing that?
You're not helping the group you claim to love so much or to look out for by finding this in every corner and every turn. You are not helping a group. If you have a group of people and you go, if I have a daughter, wait a minute, I do have a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't say to my daughter, hey, society has it out for you. You're on the low end. The playing field is tilted and you're at the bottom and you're going to have to work twice as hard as any man. And then we walk down the street and everything I find backs up that assertion. Like, oh, see the way that guy's mowing his lawn? See the way he turned when he saw you coming? Because he wants to get away from you. Because you're a woman, and he's trying to hold you down. That would poison her brain. It would poison her. It's the worst thing you can do for any group ever. And these narcissistic a-holes have no idea what they're doing to the black community or what they're doing to the any community. Are they know or they don't care because they're crushing them. This is soul crushing. When you do this to a community, it's the worst thing you can do to any group is to suggest they have a target on their back or they're not wanted or the rest of the people in the community or the group, they all don't like them. I don't care if you're black, Hispanic, lesbian, or female. I don't care if you're if my kid was walking into a Chuck E. Cheese and I said, most of these people here don't like you, okay? So just be careful and understand. That would ruin their entire experience. It would ruin it. You guys are the most selfish assholes on the planet. You're ruining these groups. You're ruining them in the name of virtue signaling. You get to be a hero. They are going to be ruined, and you have no idea what you're doing. You have no idea how evil you are. This thing was like, I'm going to save everybody. I'm going to protect everybody. You're ruining them. You're ruining them with your virtue signaling. You guys are assholes, and you should kill yourselves. Other than that, I have no thoughts on the subject. Nobody, I swear to God, I'm the only one who fully understands how dangerous this is, how insidious this is, to raise a whole another group, a whole generation of young black kids to think they have a target on their back, living in the freest country in the world. You're ruining them. You have no idea how irresponsible this is. No idea. You're ruining these kids. You're ruining a generation. And you don't care because you get to get reelected or you get to get clicks on your website or you get to do whatever and you get to be a hero. God, I hope you all rot in hell. I'm an atheist and I hope you rot in hell. You have no idea what you're doing in the name of being a hero. I hate you. I hate these people. They're ruining this country. They're ruining this group. The only message should be, we're in the greatest country in the world. We're in the freest country in the world. Now go out and make some hay while the sun shines. Are there going to people like you, people dislike you? Yes, that's that way with everyone. Go get busy. Get busy. You can do whatever you want. Jesus Christ. The part that kills me is I don't mind if somebody is doing something. If you're doing something and it's destructive and you have no idea what you're doing, I'm sort of agnostic about you. It's like, well, he's trying to help, but he's really not helping. But whatever. This is hurting a whole culture. This is destroying a culture, destroying a whole group that's coming up by telling them they have a target on their back and how we live in a society that hates them. Total false narrative. You're doing that and you're making yourself a hero. That's the part that drives me nuts. If you're just wrong or stupid or misdirected, that'd be fine. But you're doing it to make yourself a hero, and it's at their expense. And you guys all just get in a big circle jerk and have at it at the Huffington Post. We are hurting a whole group of people, and you sicken me, and I hope you go to hell. Thank you.
Well done.
Tomorrow's headline podcast. Adam Carolla goes on racist rant.
That's right.
About Jesus Christ. Excuse me. I'm just going to write a note to myself. Never get on the wrong side of Adam Carolla.
They're so sickening. They're sickening. Yeah, these people are sickening. Absolutely and the right. Katy Perrys and the sane people of the world who are scared of these people shutting down their business because they don't care. She didn't mean anything. She doesn't know what blackface is. These are sandals. She didn't give a crap. She just kowtows to them because everyone's scared of an angry mob. Everyone thinks, oh, I don't want to be boycotted. I don't want my business to go away because that's how these people threaten you. God, they have no idea the damage they're causing. Please, everybody, just get on with your goddamn life. It's 2019. Or go find a country that has a problem and move over there and solve it. Have fun when they put a burning tire around you. Enjoy that. Enjoy that. Go find some women who are really oppressed and go fix it. Go find an ethnicity where there's real ethnic cleansing going on. Go find one of those countries. Take your goody two-shoes, not your Katy Perry two-shoes, your goody two-shoes, and go over there and do some work, and you'll be dead by the weekend. But enjoy. You died a hero. Assholes. People. Drive me nuts. Sorry. Where was I? Casserole edge. I got to have a swig of this stuff to take the edge off. Stronger under pressure. A lot of pressure in here. Casserole edge with fluid titanium. Transforms under pressure to keep metal And keep the parts from rubbing on each other, which sounds good for Valentine's Day, but it's not good for the inside of your engine. It needs that little slick oil. It just runs on that little coaster of oil, the bearings, the rod bearings, the crank, just a little microfilm of oil, and that better be the
best. Get me excited.
Stuff. Yeah, Castrol Edge, baby. They've done, by the way, three times stronger.
Three times, fool.
Against breakdown, viscosity breakdown, and leading full synthetics, it's Castrol Edge. All right, Gina, one more.
All right. Well, a jury has ruled that a KFC franchisee must pay over $1.5 million to a former Delaware employee who said she was demoted because she wanted to pump her breast milk at work. The News Journal reports Autumn Lampkins was awarded $25,000 in compensatory damages and $1.5 million in punitive damages. I know this sounds insane. By the time I got there, I was like, whatever, but listen to this. A lawsuit says co-workers and supervisors at KFC and KFC Taco Bell restaurants made it so difficult for Lampkins to pump during her shift that her milk supply dried up. Documents showed she was hired months after giving birth in 2014 and was only allowed to pump once during each 10-hour shift. The lawsuit says she was demoted and struggled, and co-workers complained that she got breaks to pump when they didn't.
Co-workers complained?
Yeah. Because she needed a
She's
break.
Pumping. I don't get why I don't get to beat off. Yeah.
She's producing
same difference.
She's producing liquid.
Right. Yeah.
Protein's protein.
She had a kid out of wedlock, yeah. And now I got to pay the price by not being able to beat off. That ain't fair.
Me too.
Yeah, that's right.
That'll show them.
So
she got $1.5 million in punitive damages.
I'm guessing if...
Buys a lot of buckets.
I guess I guess I'm betting she's going to go through that.
It's a lot of formula.
Pretty quickly.
Not going to diversify the portfolio.
Well, how about the poor kid whose mom works at a KFC? I mean, we got to think about. We got to think about the. Yeah. We're going to go out the future.
No chicken at dinner tonight. Yeah, no. Sunshine.
How old is she? Does it say?
It doesn't say.
I'm wondering.
But I like her name.
What is your name?
Autumn Lampkins.
Autumn Lampkins. Oh,
sounds far like too posh to be working in a KFC.
It sounds like a children's story.
Yes. Well, the kid was 13, so that was weird.
That was the problem, right?
Now you sound like the defense.
Shaming.
Get on the board late.
All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
27 years old, so says Max Zapata. Simply Safe, last but not least, let's not forget about Simply Safe, S-I-M-P-L-I, Simply Safe. They want to protect you. They're great home security. So go to simplysafe.com/Adam at Simply Safe. All right, remember the show. It's the Peterson. The Peterson is a little garish from the outside. But the inside is classy and world-class at the same time. So it's a world-class facility. So come on by. That'll be March 10th. We'll do our 10-year CarCast anniversary. And Mike's going to be there. And Leno's going to be there. And we'll get a bunch of other cool car celebs to be there. And you can just get the tickets at AdamCarolla.com. Mike Brewer, we'll be looking out for Wheeler Dealers when?
It's going to start in the spring on Motor Trend Channel and Discovery Channel and the rest of the world. And we've got another big run of 20, well, we've got 27 shows, but they're broken down into nines.
Nice.
So we look forward to that. And check out my stand-up special, Not Taco Bell Material. Go to amcroll.com/events. Bald Brian in his socks, everyone. Offer ends...
tomorrow, Friday. Friday's
tomorrow.
The last day. If you're listening to this, get them Friday.
Go to amcroll.com and buy at least one.
Please.
So
I'm shocked at how many people have got them. It's very cool. People tweet me pictures. It's pretty awesome.
It's nice.
It's pretty awesome.
Lennox Lewis tomorrow. Until next time, Adam Carolla, Mike Brewer, and Matt the Moderator, DeAndre, and Gina Grad, and Bald Brian. Say it. Mahalo.
Hey, Bill Cosby, king of the block. I get you what you need.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Take a Knee, because you're going to get a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. You need it. Click the link at AdamCarolla.com for tickets and info on all the live podcasts. Mangry events, books, movies, and more. Go to AdamCarolla.com and stay tuned for AP News.